on a short-term missions trip to the island of Tobago in the Caribbean, a pastor and his small team that he took with him were visiting a leper colony. He gathered them all together in a service, and he was leading them in worship before he started preaching. But while singing, he couldn't help but notice a woman who was about halfway back, who, when they started singing, she was turned away, but she turned around while he was singing, and he noticed her face was horribly deformed. Her nose and her ears were entirely gone because of leprosy. However, when it came to that time in their worship service where they would have a time of making special requests, she was the first to raise her arm into the air that had no fingers on it and said, "Can we please sing, Count Your Blessings? Count Your Blessings." Not long into the song, as the pastor was leading that small group of people, that he just emotionally was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. And so he asked one of his team members if they would come and lead as he temporarily left to pull himself back together. You know, after that service, the pastor later gathered his team and told them that because of that woman's joy and thankfulness, even in the midst of her suffering, that she would want to sing Count Your Blessings. He said, "I'll never be able to sing that song again the same way." That woman is a beautiful example of the kind of Christian that God calls all of us to be in the passage that we will be looking at this morning. Since this week, again, we celebrate Thanksgiving. It's a national event, but what God talks to us about being thankful is an ongoing attitude. It's something that we always are to have. But because we're celebrating Thanksgiving, I always like to piggyback on special events to bring God's word to bear on these special times. And I want to remind us of the importance of continually giving thanks to the Lord and what that means. What's involved in that? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I want us to look at four facets of giving thanks to God that every believer must remember. Four facets of giving thanks to God that every believer must remember. The first facet is this. It's the command for thankfulness. The command for thankfulness. Look at the first part of verse 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now stop there. The one Greek word translated give thanks here is an imperative. In the Greek, an imperative is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not just good advice. It's not an option. It's a command. It's absolutely necessary. It's what God is wanting for us to do. Again, there's a lot of things that God commands for us. But here we're talking about thankfulness, giving thanks. It's in the present tense. Those who have been going through our study of 1 John, we see the present tense means something very important. In the Greek, it's talking about that which is continual, that which is an habitual practice. It's to be a lifestyle. It's to be something that characterizes our lives. And giving thanks is in the present tense. To give thanks or thankfulness is far more than simply just looking on the bright side of things. It's far more than just having a positive mental attitude about a situation, even though things may not be real good. To give thanks, it's a heart attitude of thanks, of gratitude and appreciation to God. God is the implied object here of giving thanks. It doesn't say that directly, but it's the implied object of the thankfulness that we are to give. It is to be directed towards Him. For all that He is, for all that He has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although giving thanks to God is the key element to corporate Christian worship. As we gather today, we've been singing praise of thanksgiving to God. Again, for who He is, for all that He has done for us. It's a key element of that. But in this verse, in verse 18, the focus is on the daily thanksgiving by us as believers to Him. Thanksgiving to God is an essential part of our daily worship, as well as our personal relationship with the Lord. Why is that? Because thanksgiving, as we will see as we go through, expresses our faith, our trust in Him, our dependence on Him, no matter what, even when we're especially going through difficult times. Being thankful is an expression of our trust in Him. And as our Creator and our Redeemer, God is worthy of all of our praise, of all of our thanks, because He is the ultimate source of everything that we are, everything that we have. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, we're told, "In Him we live and move and we exist. Our very breath comes from Him." Everything we have, everything we do, the fact that we can do anything, our very life is from Him. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." He is the ultimate source of everything. And because of that, we are commanded to continually give thanks to Him. If for nothing else, because He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving just because of who He is. We see this repeatedly in the Scriptures. Let me just read a few verses to you. The psalmist calls us in Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." Ephesians 5, 4, we're told, "There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Verse 18 goes on to command us as believers to continually be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences that we truly are controlled by the Holy Spirit, in verse 20, it says, "is always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Colossians 2:7 says, "Having been firmly rooted and now built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." The Christian who is obeying what God calls them to do, to obey that command to give thanks, is one who is a grateful person. Colossians 3:15 declares, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 16 then goes on to state an evidence that God's Word is truly richly dwelling within us. And he says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17 goes on to say, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 commands us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving is part of everything we are to do because we're commanded as Christians to be thankful. Hebrews 13, 15 proclaims, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. God saved us that we would be a thankful people, to give our praise and thankfulness to him because he alone is worthy of it. Thankfulness is to characterize our daily Christian lives. First, because we have been commanded to do so. The second facet of giving thanks to God is the extent of thankfulness. Look again at the first part of verse 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Notice that Paul does not say that we are to continually give thanks for everything. He doesn't say give thanks for everything. He says give thanks in everything. There is a major difference between those two little words, for and in. You see, God is never the source of evil. He's never the source of evil, and therefore we are never to thank him for the things that living in a fallen, sinful, evil world bring into our lives. The adversities, the tragedies that this world often allows to impact our lives, those are not things that we just, Lord, thank you for that. Not too long ago, I had my husband and wife come in and their daughter committed suicide. You see, that's not something we thank God for. But God wants us to work through the pain and the tragedy of that to be able to truly thank him in something like that. When evil does touch our lives in its multiple forms, we are called by God to give thanks. To give thanks to him, even in the midst of it. The word everything. In everything, give thanks. That word everything there is broad. It's all-inclusive word that speaks of the extent or the scope of our thanksgiving to God. Therefore, in the midst of both the good things and the bad things that come into our lives, our thankfulness to God is to have no limits. No limits. We all know how easy it is to thank him when things are going good in our life, when everything is working out the way we desire. When we're experiencing God's tangible blessings that just seem to abundantly flow. It's so easy to thank God in the good times. But as we sang this morning, blessed be your name. When the sun no longer shining. When we're in the desert. When bad things are happening. When we're suffering. See, to continually, because it's in the present tense, to continually give thanks to him in everything, in the midst of everything. When things in our life are tough, when they're painful, that's another story. What do we do then? How do we respond? What do we do when we're dealing with an unjust employer, an unloving spouse, a rebellious child, rejection from a friend, shattered dreams, besetting sin, losing our job, physical hardships, financial reversal. We live in difficult times. Many people have lost their businesses, lost their jobs, are tight financially. How do we respond with the death of a loved one, a disfiguring or terminal disease, chronic or debilitating illness, or one of a multitude of other trials? What does it mean to continually give thanks to God then in that type of situation? What are you dealing with this morning? As I've said many times before, nothing is more taken for granted than a faith that is unchallenged. And nothing challenges our faith more than trials. You see, the harsh realities of life in this fallen, sinful world can scream out. They scream out, God is not good. God is not good. He is not sovereignly in control of everything because what he has done or what he has allowed to happen in my life. That's what the world screams out. An enemy would love for us to grab a hold of that and go with it. You see, it's during these trials that we are especially at a crossroads. We come to a place where we're going to go in one of two directions. A choice is to be made. We either doubt God or we're going to continue to trust Him. To choose to doubt God is to doubt His goodness, to doubt His sovereignty. You see, we see God as, in those kind of situations, as uncaring, as unloving. That He has left us. That He's not with us. At least that's how we feel. That's how it seems like. Many times we see Him as bad or unable to watch over us. And yet when God looks bad to us, sin looks good. When God looks bad, sin looks good. And as a result, thankfulness to God is the last thing that comes into our minds. Thank Him for what? This? You see, it's very easy to become angry with God and with the sense of entitlement. Say, I deserve better than this. We not only then use our pain to justify our sin of looking out for ourselves. Why? Because God isn't. Then I feel justified to look out for myself. But we also form a very critical, pessimistic attitude that grumbles and complains. That's what happens when we take our eyes off the Lord, when we get to that place in the midst of a trial and we doubt Him. You see, in reality, if we got what we really deserved, things would be a million times worse than whatever we may be going through. Not to minimize the pain that many people deal with. But from a biblical perspective, if we got what we really deserved, things would be a million times worse than whatever we may be going through in the moment. We would be experiencing eternal judgment in a lake of fire. You see, it's only when we realize this that we come to a place of repenting. Repenting of our selfish and rebellious and unbelieving attitude. To get back on the path that God wants us to be all along. And that's that second choice that we have. And that second choice is to choose to trust God. To choose to trust God, to cling to the truth of His word about who He is, no matter how we feel, no matter what the circumstances are in our life. See, we believe that God is always good and loving. Why? Because we feel it? Because we're sensing it? Because His Word says it. His unfelt Word says that, and that's what we're clinging to. Not only is He always good and loving, but He also is always with us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we're dealing with, and He cares. And He is in control, sovereignly, of everything that is going on in our life. He's actively working out His sovereign purposes in our lives, whether we understand it or not. You see, this trust in God enabled Peter and the apostles to continually give thanks to God in the midst of being persecuted in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. It was this same trust that enabled Paul and Silas to sing hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God in Acts chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. In the midst of being fastened in stocks down in the lower dungeon. See, it's that trust that enables us. That's why thanksgiving is an expression of trust, of faith, of dependence on God. Therefore, as a result, we too will be able to continually give thanks to God in the midst of whatever trials that we may be going through as we cling to His Word and we express our trust and dependence on Him. You see, it's our choice to believe Him, to believe His Word, that God is always good, that He is always with us, no matter what, that He is sovereign over all that befalls us. He is sovereign over everything that comes into our life that enables us to maintain an attitude of gratitude regardless of the circumstances. The biblical basis for continually giving thanks to God, no matter what happens in our life, is a verse that is often flippantly used, and yet it is the very basis of our thanksgiving. And that is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. It's so easy, just let that roll off our tongues. And yet when we grab the reality of that, that is what enables us to continue to give thanks. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He, Christ, would be the firstborn among many brethren. That's us. Like the word everything, the one Greek word translated all things, is utterly comprehensive. It's comprehensive. Having no qualifications, no restriction. It includes everything that is both good and bad. Prosperity and adversity. Pleasure and pain. Joy and sorrow. Happiness and suffering. Freedom and persecution. Health and illness. Holiness and sin. Life and death. It includes everything. All the extremes. Not one detail is beyond God's sovereign rule. Do you believe that? Because He is either sovereign over all or He is not sovereign at all. Sovereign means you're over everything. Only a completely sovereign God can cause all things to work together for our good, our greatest good. Again, understand that that goodness is defined by His definition, not ours. Our greatest good and His highest glory. Since God can turn any situation to our good, which ultimately, as we see in verse 29, ultimately is about our increased Christ-likeness. To make us more than conquerors. There's no situation that we cannot continually give thanks to Him in the midst of. Let me ask you this morning, are you a grateful person? Those who know you best, would they say you're a grateful person? Are you giving thanks to God in everything? The third facet of giving thanks to God is the reason for thankfulness. The reason for thankfulness. Look at verse 18. In everything give thanks. Why? Here it is. For this is God's will. The reason we are in everything to give thanks to God is because God is simply saying, this is my will. This is my will. God's will applies to the three commands in verses 16 through 18. Each one of those is a command. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. Those three commands are tied to God's will. It's God's will that we do each one of these. And although these three commands are not the totality of God's will for us as believers, they're a clear and important part of it. For each one of us who are a child of God, and we are to do these things in every condition that we find ourselves. None of us knows God's sovereign will for our lives until it happens. God's sovereign will is like looking at it in the rearview mirror. We only know it after we've passed through it because it's sovereign. God allows it to happen. God makes it happen. We're not aware of it until after the fact. But we all can know God's moral will, which is revealed in the Word of God. The Word of God is the moral will of God, and all of us can know that. Sometimes it may not seem like God's will is good, that God's will for us is for our best interest. It doesn't always feel that way, but it is. Romans 12:2 says, the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect. God's will is good. It always is good because God is always good. Everything that He does is good. Though at times His will, things that He brings into our lives, it's very difficult, very confusing. But His will is good. His will is acceptable. Since it's acceptable or well-pleasing, that's a word, that's what acceptable means, well-pleasing to God because it is. And He knows that it is because He's good. He makes no mistakes. If it's acceptable to Him, it needs to be acceptable to us because as we grow in our Christian life, all we want is to do His will. My will is to do His will. We're no longer fighting His will to do our will. It's acceptable. It's well-pleasing to us, and that's all we want. And then third, God's will is perfect. It's complete. It will always achieve the desired end that God has in mind. As I said before, God's ultimate goal for each one of our lives is not our personal comfort. If that was His goal for our life, if that was His agenda, I think if we went around the room, we'd find that He's doing a pretty lousy job in most of our life. If the bottom line, what he was about, was our personal comfort. Because that's not what he's about. His goal for our life is our Christ-like character. And he uses as one of his primary means to bring that about is suffering, is trials, difficulties in our life. Because when the fires of those trials, when those fires heat up, just like when silver, metal, precious metal is refined, the dross, as that heat is turned up, the dross comes to the surface. And that's what God is doing. He's bringing our selfishness. He's bringing our sin. He's bringing ways we're trying to make life work on our own, apart from him, to the surface. And then as that dross is scooped off, then the metal is again more pure. And it's heated up again. The dross is scooped off. That happens as we repent of our sin. And God is continually about making us more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, the only right response to God's will, as difficult as it may be, is to obey it. Whether we feel like it or not, is to be obedient. I think we all know Johnny Erickson Tada. As a teenager, she broke her neck in a swimming accident and was paralyzed, been paralyzed, all of her life. One mistake, lifelong consequences. Johnny has struggled with this lifelong trial, but she said this about God's will, and I quote, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of being obedient," end quote. God wants us to be thankful. He commands us to be thankful. It's his will for our lives to be thankful. And many times we have a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses why we're not. And yet the only thing we can do is come in line and obey what God has called us to do. As believers, God didn't change his commands to fit our hearts. Praise God, he changed our hearts to fit his commands. Now as a believer, we want to do what we should do. We want to do what God has called us to do as we depend on him. When we're in touch with our regenerate hearts, we want to obey God's command and give thanks in the midst of everything. Why? Because he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving. Now, although we cannot do this, even as Christians, we cannot do this in our own strength. As we depend on the Spirit of God and allow him to control our daily lives, he enables us to do his will in a way that pleases him. The fourth facet of giving thanks that we see in this one little verse is the givers of thankfulness. The givers of thankfulness. Look at the whole of verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will." Here it is. "For you." For you in Christ Jesus. Notice to whom Paul is directing this command. It's for you. In Christ Jesus. The phrase "in Christ Jesus" modifies the word "you." In other words, it's referring to all of us who are true born again believers. Talking about Christians. We are the givers of thankfulness, maintaining a heart attitude and actions of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks is only possible to those who belong to Jesus Christ. It's only possible for us. Why is that? Because unsaved people or unbelievers, non-Christians, although they can be thankful for certain things, Scripture is very clear. Scripture is very clear that an unbeliever does not seek God on their own. No one seeks God on his own. And the things of God, according to 1 Corinthians 2:14, an unbeliever does not understand. It's foolishness. They do not think him. Romans chapter 1:21 says, "For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." No unbeliever is going to give thanks to the one true living God of the Bible. They're not going to do that. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, gives us a list of 19 things that characterize unbelievers in the last days. One of which is being ungrateful. Ungrateful. Therefore, true thankfulness to God is characteristic only of those who have become new creatures in Christ. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Asked Him to come into their life by faith to save them from their sin. See, only Christians are givers of thankfulness. I'd like you to think about it just for a moment. All that you can be thankful for as a born-again believer. What can we be thankful for as Christians? No matter what it is that we may be going through in our life, we could be thankful that we have been given the indescribable gift of salvation, whereby we have received eternal life right now and forever in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in Him. And being in Christ, we have a new purity. We have a new purity, being declared righteous by God, forgiven of all of our sin, past, present, future. All of our sin is forgiven. We're clothed in the very righteousness of Christ. We have a new purity. We have a new identity as children of God. We have a new heart. We have a new nature with new godly desires to love God, to know Him, to obey Him, to enjoy Him, to reflect His character, to be used by Him. He has put that desire within our hearts. We have a new power, the indwelling Holy Spirit, who has been poured out in our hearts, who has come to indwell us, and the love of God through the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our hearts. He is always with us. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He is the one that opens our minds to help us understand the Word of God. He is the one who gives us His sufficient strength in our weakness to do what we cannot do. You see, those are things that are true for every single one of us as believers. We have a new family of believers to love us and to support us. And in addition to so many other things, we have a new hope of heaven. We have a new hope of heaven. We know where we're going. The moment we stop breathing, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul proclaimed in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." What hope? We have so much to be thankful for. May we all remember the command, the extent, the reason, and the givers of thankfulness. These are things we need to remember as born-again believers. We do really have so much to be thankful for, regardless of the difficult circumstances. Not to minimize those, but in the midst of those, we can still give thanks to the Lord. No wonder the psalmist declared in Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. May each one of us make sure that we say so. That we say so by giving thanks to the Lord this Thanksgiving. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. We need to talk about it. We need to share our thanks of how much we do thank God for what he's done. For if we as God's people don't do this, who will? The unbeliever? No. We are God's people, and God wants us to give thanks to him in everything. This is why I'd like to encourage you to make a list this Thanksgiving. Just take a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be long. But list the blessings that God has given to you over this past year. This has been a hard year. This year has been difficult. It's been unprecedented in many ways over this whole COVID situation. It's been very difficult for some, far more than others, but we've all been affected by it. I'd like you to count all your blessings that God has given to you. The hymn writer so beautifully penned in the chorus of his song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done." Then he repeats it, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done." I want to encourage you to do that. Count your blessings. Write down some things that you are thankful to God for this year. No matter what struggles you've been dealing with in your life, what are you thankful for? Giving thanks to God not only glorifies him, but also is a powerful witness. It's a powerful encouragement to other people, just like that woman was with her leprosy to that visiting pastor. Broke his heart, changed his life. And although this has been a difficult year, may each one of us this week bring glory to God and encourage others by sharing with them at least one or two things that we are thankful to God for this year.